I don't know how many of you sense it. Something has been lifted in the spirit. We have been taken to a height where things are easy, to a place where things are easy. I want to admonish you to maximize the grace of God that is on this meeting tonight. Hallelujah. So in a moment, can you raise your voice and make demands on the throne of God? We've been taken to a place where things are easy to come by. We've been taken to a high place. A high place. A high place. I pray you will lose sight of the preacher and you will lay hold on God. Ilamoko semina layetele. Rosketa buge balai sandala. Yalamo sende keko kobelaise. Ruka makatala mon samenaile. Horonomo sekotelia magala. Rusketo bonde la nanamasukela. Lahai sosa mandele. Lahai mabrakatelimo. Nigoboria stiga bantelia. Presco bala dominali. Asai kombela kuda. Brokes kaba gondalesi. Oh my God. Rishamo kondeliala. Yalamon santale. Ekabonde. Ikos kabelai toa. Amrama kantala la la baboseke. Rane no mo santele a pranta babukela. We give you glory. So while we prayed now, I saw in a flash. Wait. Follow my spirit. So in a flash, just now, I saw Satan fall from heaven. You know, there is a victory that has been secured, and the proclamation of that victory is in the atmosphere that was created. Oh my God. So now that the strong one has been bound, you can take back that which was forcefully taken from your life. You can take back your marriage right now. You can take back your destiny. You can take it back. You can take it back. Ilamo seketali mahalele. Simondele. Uraskite malakobo. Rubadahai sameya. Pareso kubina kadela harete. Iskobre. Pantayada bolsa matale, hika presko pedadi, agosedia, abranta babokoto, iskobe matade bolsebina. Aite bokorala, parakusa metaliado. Oh, Amasia, Lion of Judah. Yeshua, Hamashiach, Lion of Judah, Abundation. Yeshua HaMashiach, Lion of Judah, Abundation. We enter into the door that has been secured. We access the passage that is now open. Grant us strength to access the open door. In the name of Jesus. Grant us strength to access the open door tonight, and let everyone be ushered in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you indeed. All right, the choir, they are high in spirit, but I'm not sure if you people on the instrument are in spirit. So give me strings there, give me strings. There's something I'm trying to find. Turn your Bible with me quickly to the book of Luke chapter 11. You are welcome to the house of God. Can you welcome someone to the left and to the right? As I welcome Pastor Mrs. Mary Ochengele, in fact, I was high in spirit. I didn't. please salute the champion of Jesus Christ. So let me confess, they are my colleagues where I worked before. A lot of them want to connect with you, so I've been giving your number without asking you. Because amen, hallelujah. So you might find some strange, they are credible people. They are credible people, and they have seen the stature of leadership on your life, and they want to draw covering from your priesthood. Turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. We'll begin from verse number 9. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he asks an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Verse 13 is my emphasis. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Now, the scripture we just read contrasts the human concept of fatherhood with the divine concept of fatherhood, because there is someone here that believes that because he's a father, his model and his practice of fatherhood gives him an insight into the kind of father that God is. You are wrong. The concept of fatherhood that is captured in the dimensions of God is way beyond comparing with the human concept of fatherhood. Well, I've not gotten there yet. You see, the scriptures, like I said yesterday, do not exist in a vacuum. It exists in a progression. There is a thought that God is trying to instill upon our hearts. And that thought follows an argument before it builds into the emphasis. So this thought began in verse 9, where it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Now, this is a disclosure of protocols that are available in the realm of the spirit. It says, ask and it shall be given you. At this level of prayer that is called asking, because it's a progression in the journey of prayer that has been unfolded in that scripture, follow my spirit, follow my spirit, follow my spirit. You used to follow my spirit before. Where did you travel? You went somewhere. Hallelujah. You see, you are not with my spirit. Your volume shows you don't know me anymore. No, you're not. Stop. God. Listen, what we have in this scripture is a progression. It's a progression in our prayer adventure. And so Jesus is saying that there is a provision made available in the realm of the Spirit for us to bring petition to God. You are not likely to understand, ask, and it shall be given you, if you have never been in a kingdom situation before and you were able to secure audience with the King. And that's why I will recommend that you watch medieval movies where you have a king, a chieftain. And in a kingdom situation, what we call law are decrees that the king makes. Right? The grand nom of a kingdom is the king. Meanwhile, the grand nom of Nigeria is the constitution. So if by any means you stand before the king, what that means is that the king can create a law just to satisfy your petition. He can make a decree that will be binding in keeping with your request. Are you still with me? It says, ask, and it shall be given you. He's saying the moment you secure the audience of the king, don't play with the opportunity. Make sure you do what? Because many of you can come there and then maybe you show the king that you just got a new pair of shoes. It means you have wasted the opportunity that so many people are looking for. That when you stand before the king, in order for you to maximally profit from the opportunity that has been accorded you, you must ask. Unfortunately, asking follows a certain specified pattern. Kingdom asking. Kingdom asking is not looking for arms. It's not the kind of statements that Bartimaeus made when he wanted something, you know. It's not the kind of utterances we make when we are searching and looking to trigger the mercy that is upon the hearts of righteous people so that they can give to support you. Kingdom asking is a deep enterprise. It's an enterprise that is tied to knowledge, because kingdom asking must be in conformity with the will of the king. That means you must know what is the good pleasure of the king before you do kingdom asking. Because standing before the king is risky. You must get something from him. You must get something. It can be jail, or it can be redemption. It can be recovery. It can be, but you must get something. It can be execution. Standing before the king is a risky game. And in order for you to exploit the potential that that opportunity comes with, you must know kingdom asking. Kingdom asking must be in conformity, like I said, with the good pleasure of the king. It must be in conformity with the will of the king. So if you have no knowledge of his good pleasure, your asking will be offensive. If you have no knowledge of his good will, your asking might be a trap. Because you are going to receive something because you stand before the king. Now, I want to play with a few scriptures because I'm seeing most of you are not in this auditorium. Some of you are still in Wurukum. Some of you are still... So let me play with a few scriptures and we'll come back. When I notice you are back, we'll come back to Luke chapter 11. So come with me to the book of Daniel. 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 Daniel chapter 1, let's begin the reading from verse number 1. I think it captures the context that will open up our understanding. In the third year of the reign of King Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Next verse. Oh my God, who is on that council? Don't waste my time. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So the first thing that the king looted was treasure from the house of God. Don't forget that. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, and part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, and to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. Verse 3. And the king spake unto Aspenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes. I would like you to take a while and see the specification of individuals that the king requested that they be brought out of Jerusalem and brought to Babylon. He gave a specification. In terms of the vessels, in terms of the loot he took from the sanctuary, it was all the loot he took. But in terms of the human beings that should come to the headquarters, it was not everyone that he chose. He gave specifications as to the kind of people that should be brought to Babylon. First description was what? Children of Israel. Second description was that they were what? From the royal line. People that had royal blood. People that had a hope of ascending into thrones of power. Are you there? Princes by birth. People that they were training to inherit thrones of power. He said, those are the ones that I want you to bring to Babylon. Bring all the vessels. Bring all the treasure, but don't bring all the men. Not every man is useful. By now, you must have understood the psychology of Babylon. Babylon doesn't have the ability to empower. So Babylon has an eye for gift, has an eye for endowment, has an eye for ordination. So they come around, and when they find that there is a destiny ahead of you, something that you are looking up to, you are trusting God for its manifestation. You have been seated in the line of greatness. And in the fullness of time, the stroke of your greatness will be known to all. Babylon will take you. And the reason why Babylon will take you is because they want to use your capacity to adorn their kingdom. Just in case you gave an accurate prophecy the other day and it came to pass, Babylon, your name was already written on the list of people that Babylon is seeking to transport to China. If you are still with me, say amen. Okay, now let's see what they have in mind. These guys that they want to come to their headquarters. Let's see what they have in mind. Children in whom was no blemish. But well favored. That means there's nothing that dents the symmetry of their beauty. Nothing that dents the symmetry of their handsomeness. People that are wholesome in physique. Golden in frame. Children in whom was no blemish, but were favored. And skillful in all wisdom. Cunning in knowledge. Understanding science. Now, Babylon doesn't have the ability to impact. There is no capacity building program that can make you a man of ordination in Babylon. They know that their storehouse of grace is empty. So they will lock around, seeking that individual that was able to hear the voice of God. If by any means you have any supernatural endowment that you can pass by grace into any pool of spiritual knowledge whatsoever, Babylon is interested. Are you there? He said, those guys that understand science and such as had the ability in them to do what? To stand in the king's palace. It's not enough for you to understand science and to have capacity to unravel copious mysteries. But one of the qualifications that these guys had to have was that they need to have the ability in them to do what? To stand in the king's palace. It will interest you to know that not everyone has the ability to stand before a king. So in order for there not to be conflict, the people that they choose had to be in the lineage of royalty. They must have been exposed to royalty to a certain degree to understand the decorum and the courtesies that are needed in the king's presence. Are you there? Okay. It is these guys that have all of these qualities that Babylon is willing to teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The reason why Babylon will teach you their language is because that is the only way that they can milk you of your endowment and use it to build their own kingdom. The only thing Babylon teaches you is their language. Because that's the only way they can benefit from the endowment that they don't know how you got. If Nebuchadnezzar goes to Otubo and see some people there that know Aleku very well, that can discuss with Aleku, and Aleku will give them feedback. Nebuchadnezzar will arrest them. If Nebuchadnezzar goes to Kasnala and he sees someone there that understands the language of Swem, and the person can throw calories on the ground and Swem will interpret it and say, this is the meaning, this is what, they will arrest him. They will arrest him with his shrine and all the articles there. Are you with me? At the end of the day, in Babylon's ministry of wisdom, there were 9 different types of priesthood that he had gathered from the nations of the world. That's how we now understood how Nebuchadnezzar became the king of kings. It was through the intelligence that came through these demonic sources, through all of these dimensions of priesthood, that they were able to make predictions about the future and to know what to emphasize in their strategy. Are you still with me? It was in this pool of magicians that they brought Daniel, Shadrach. Now, let's not go too far. Let's stay. We are still talking about asking. Next verse. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might, what's the goal? Stand before the king. Stand up. No, not you. That lady. Are you in school? You've graduated. As small as you are, sit down. Who is still in the university here? What level are you? 400. Huh? Your course is for how many years? 3 years. 4 years. Sit down. This is your own course. Was a 3-year course. And when you have passed the course, you are going to stand before the chancellor. And Nebuchadnezzar was the chancellor. I'm just trying to, I know you are not here, so you are coming back now. I went here to bring you back from Wadata. Do you realize that it will take them 3 years of scholastic excellence to secure an opportunity to stand before the king? It's not in kingdom days, standing before the king is not casual. It's not something you can just okay. One go check bros for that side. That's not the idea here. These guys will study for 3 years. And when they had studied for 3 years, they secure an opportunity to. Meanwhile, before they even brought them, they had in them the capacity to stand in the king's palace. But even though they had that capacity, they will go through 3 years of education and training, of bending and breaking and chiseling, before they draw from that potential and stand before Nebuchadnezzar. Most of you don't know how great Nebuchadnezzar was. Have you heard of the concept? You know, God is called King of Kings. The first human that fully satisfied that description, Nebuchadnezzar. He was the one that pioneered the concept of globalization. When Babylon is feasting, we are talking about feasts that last for months. When they say there's a celebration, it lasts for months and it's intercontinental. He had kings and nations under him. And that's why, if we are going to talk about the false system of the Antichrist, we will need to begin to take that prototype and use it as an analysis. That's the first time the world was considered to be a global village. Kings were the beck and call of this Supreme One that was the King of Kings and the governor of the earth. It takes many moons for a star like that to rise. And if a star like that rises, it can never be outside of the knowledge of God. So God was the one that allowed Nebuchadnezzar rise like that. In order for you to stand before him, you will go for degree program. And when you have graduated with flying colors, you'll be given an opportunity to stand before the king. So when Jesus was teaching in the book of Luke chapter 11, and he said, ask, what you are not seeing in that scripture is that you have finally finished your education. And you have now come. No ignorant man should stand before the king, because you will not know what to use the opportunity for. Many people, ignorant people, just want to say, hey, we don't come. Now, you see, you don't even understand what you are missing. You don't know. The way you respond there can earn you jail, life imprisonment. That, how did this one make it? How did he appear here? 3 years. In order for you to do what? To stand before the king. Do you still tremble when you pray? You don't. Because you have not been told. That is not a friend you are coming to meet, is a monarch. If he speaks, his words become law and he himself becomes subject to it. That's how much power he wields in his kingdom. And you will need some education on his good pleasure, on his will, in order for you to make requests. If you want your request to be granted, it must be in line with his will. So Jesus is saying, when you have that opportunity to stand before God, ask. Ask. And you shall receive. So the first layer of prayer is asking prayer. Second layer of prayer is seeking prayer. Third layer of prayer is knocking prayer. Fourth layer of prayer is vowing prayer. Fifth layer of prayer is giving prayer. Seventh layer of prayer is fasting prayer. So we are starting with number one. Ask. When you come there, you must be trained to ask. Asking is an expression of the knowledge of his will that you have gathered. You cannot move his hand if you don't know his will. You will waste the opportunity that you have to stand before his presence when you have no knowledge of his will. So before you go before the Father to ask, you need to seek counsel from the Holy Ghost. What should I say? If an angel should come to you with an open check and say, God is so happy now, make requests, you will ask the wrong thing. If you are not counseled, you will make the wrong request. Many times in my dealings with God, the Holy Ghost has whispered to me on what to ask. How to use the opportunity. So now you are back from the market. You are with me now, so I can continue my teaching. He said, ask. And you shall receive. So we are going to be doing asking this night. I've been studying on the subject of prayer, and I found that I didn't know prayer before now. Let's go back to Luke. We'll stop and ask. I finally made it before the king. Finally appeared. The opportunity to take advantage of his might has been given unto me. How will I use the moments that I have in his court? It is still in keeping with this understanding that we are going before a king that David said, come into His presence with singing. There's a way to approach, because the idea is that you are coming before a king. You can come with all the symptoms and the perfume of self, you'll be ushered out. You must make your approach to Him all about Him, not about you. Even the prayer that you are taking to Him, the reason why you are asking what you are asking is because you know that it's in line, it's in sync with His will. You must make it about Him. Yeah, you need food or you need money, but you need to find out His will and know on what plane you can rest your request, that it will still be about Him and not about you. Because it is only His will that He will accomplish. His power goes in the direction of His will. His grace goes in the direction of His plan. And any request you are bringing to Him must have the scope of a wider picture that goes beyond just you, your pocket, your wife, and your child. It must have the texture of Him. So you need to know His will enough to know how to situate your own agenda as part of an item that is within a very grand plan of His. Then He will know that you know His will. He becomes excited with you. He can discuss with you because you know His good pleasure. I don't have time to work on that. Because in order for us to work on that critically, we will need to bring the six elements of intimacy. The more intimate you are with God, the more you can have a discussion with Him that will be pleasing to Him. A man's prayer carries all the elements of his spiritual reality. His depth with God will be revealed in his prayer. His yieldedness to God will be revealed in his prayer. His patience with God will be revealed in his prayer. His length of testing with God will be revealed in his prayer. That's why it's as if only a few set of people in the body of Christ know the technology of what it takes to move the hand of God. The person might come and say the same thing you say, but in the eyes of the Spirit, it has different meanings. The same words, because the disciples of Jesus came back to Jesus and said, why couldn't we cast him out? Because it was exactly what Jesus said in casting the demon out that they said that did not work. It means there is something beyond the saying that is responsible for the result. The depths of it. When you see that a tree is 5.5 meters, 8 inches, you only began to measure from the level of the ground. You are not aware that the root is part of the tree. There's an aspect of what you are seeing that is hidden, and it determines everything. Ask. Okay. Now that you're here, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and it shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Yes? Next verse. Then he begins to explain asking. Even though he explained three levels there. Are you there? He said, for everyone that asketh, receive it. That means we have no doubt that we are going to receive if you ask properly. Are you following? My emphasis is ask. And we have a guarantee here that everyone that asks it, receive it. Jump to the next verse. I'm concerned with asking. Then he gives an illustration. And the illustration is not about seeking. The illustration is not about knocking, it is only about asking. He said, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Will you give him a stone? If you asked him a fish, will he give him a serpent? Say no. If he asked for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Say no. Then Jesus now makes attempt to clear our doubts, because there are people in our midst that are fathers. And because you are a father, you believe you understand the dimensions of God as Father. Jesus quickly clears our doubt in the next verse. Just so that you can understand that the fact that you have practiced fatherhood over your children doesn't give you any insight. Your model of fatherhood doesn't give you any added insight into the kind of father that God is. He said, if you being evil, that our being evil, according to this scripture, is comparative. That is, compared to God, you are evil. That's your fatherhood. That you say, you in the morning, you are the one that takes your daughter to school. Then you wave like this. And in your eyes, that's serious love. God is saying, compared to me, you are an evil man. Maybe you listen to your neighbor. They are quarreling in their house. And the father of the house says, I'm no longer sponsoring in school. And then he says, I'm trying to. Me, I'm sponsoring my own children. And that's not a problem to me. God is saying, at your best, you happen to be evil. It means that there's no ground of comparison between our model of fatherhood and that which God practices. So you are not enhanced. You are not better off in this understanding just because you are a father. Because the sum total of our efforts at fatherhood in comparison to God, the Bible calls it evil. But our being evil does not stop us from giving good gifts unto our children. We are evil. We are self-centered. We are self-seeking. But it is in our self-centeredness that we want to give to our children, because they are our children. You are not open to that level of generosity to the next man's child. But God makes rain. Eh? How many of you have paid the school fees of your neighbor? Oh, you great fathers in the house here. God causes rain to fall upon the house of the righteous and upon the house of the wicked. He doesn't discriminate. The same grace that saved you is... Jesus did not die for Christians. He died for the whole world. God is always generous to all. It's just that only a few can appropriate His goodness that is shed forth in His grace. But God is not selective in His goodness. But you are good to your children because they are your children. It's still an extended manifestation of self-centeredness. It's still an extended manifestation of the mutation that befell us on the account of the fall. So in your eyes, you see yourself better than your neighbor that is struggling. It's still self. Meanwhile, as evil as you are, that self did not blind you to the responsibility of being nice to your children. The Bible says, in a greater way, this much more here refers to giving good gifts. Your capacity to give good gifts to your children is limited, even though they are your children. But God is limitless in His capacity to give. That's why when you begin to ask, what God gives you is a part of Himself in the person of the Holy Ghost. So I've been doing a study on prayer. Study on prayer. And I found so many things that I didn't know before. So this is the first lesson on the subject of prayer that I've been doing in my current studies. According to this lesson, the extent of the measure of the Spirit of God that is available to us, available to you as an individual, available to us as a congregation, available to us as a nation, as a territory, is dependent on asking. You are not with me. You see, the fact that you are a mother, and I know how concerned you are about your children, you don't want them to sleep any night without having food to eat, even though there's no money you borrow. God is saying that there's a limit to which you will give to your children. You will not give yourself, you will not kill yourself for your children. God is saying that I'm giving you the Holy Ghost in response to your asking. I'm giving you part of myself, a measure of myself. That is a height to which I am willing to respond to your asking. So if you stop asking, you will stop encountering the possibilities of my presence, of my spirit in your life. In the eyes of God, in the eyes of God, a complete man is a man plus the Holy Ghost. A complete man in the eyes of God. And that's why the moment you became redeemed, what God did to you was that He added the Holy Ghost to you. The Holy Spirit is supposed to be your driving force. The one that is responsible for your choices, for your strategies, for your wisdom, for your style. It is all supposed to derive from the Holy Ghost. Because every other apparatus that you may intend to use to drive your life is falling, and the devil has mastered it. The only way you can be ahead of the devil is that you are prompted and you are led by the Holy Ghost. In the eyes of God, the greatest need of any man is the Holy Ghost. So, the fullest implication of asking is that God makes available to you man's greatest need. And I hope you will not know now that your greatest need is the Holy Ghost. And the way to make demand for that need is by asking. That's one scripture. I have how many scriptures? 6 scriptures on this matter. It is in view of the above that in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, turn your Bible quickly. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, from verse 12. Because verse 12 reveals what happened when the apostles returned after the bodily ascension of Jesus. And I know I've told you before that the space in time between Jesus' resurrection and His bodily ascension according to the scriptures was 40 days. So 40 days after His resurrection, He was still on earth, even though He no longer had an address of where He was dwelling. He only met the disciples by appointment. By appointment. He met them by what? Appointment. So He will give appointment to them. So let's meet on Mount Olives on Tuesday by 10 o'clock. While they are gathered there, He will just show up without climbing the mountain. He will just show up in their midst and say, "Peace be unto you." If you study your Bible carefully, you are going to see 7 of such appointments recorded in the scriptures. Post-resurrection appointments and encounters. And on each appointment, He brings one critical update that was published in the heavenlies that was going to affect their ministry on earth. 7 updates about occurrences, decrees in the heavens. So on this great day, He ascended bodily into heaven. You know, it was Jesus that was speaking to Nicodemus, and He told him, "No man has ascended into heaven at any time." If you read that scripture, you will now say, did not Elijah ascend into heaven? See, the presentation of that scripture in English language is a shortfall of what is there in Greek. What is there in Greek is, no man has ascended by will into heaven, at will into heaven at any time. Jesus was the first human being that said, are they go heaven? No, now we're done. And Elijah did not ascend into heaven at will. It was a wild wind that took him into heaven. There was nothing he could do to inflate. If he missed the airport, that was why he was navigating to catch the flight. Now, people say, are you not? Elijah was following him. Huh? He said, stop here and relax here. Elijah said, no, I'm going to go with you to the end point. I want to catch a flight. And he moved, parted Jordan, and he came to the end. Elijah said, are you going like that? I want this thing that you are using to pack water. I want it. You see, even the spirit of Elijah, he was released on the basis of asking. Anytime it is the spirit, the protocol for access into the pool of possibility is the what? Asking. So these guys came back from that encounter where they saw Jesus ascend that wheel. In fact, the way they were looking at him, they looked, the sky, the cloud took him, and they were still looking. An angel had to come and distract them and say, men of Jerusalem, why are you looking? The same Jesus that you see ascending now, he will come back in the same way. That means as the clouds received him, that's how the clouds will give him up in the day that he comes. And I don't have time for that. The clouds. Because in that second coming, you there? Are you with me? Okay, you're not with me. You know these things I'm sharing with you, do you know how long it took before I discovered them in the Bible? So I'm telling you, I say, okay, yeah, hallelujah. It means there is a problem. You are okay. The Bible says God has brought life and immortality to light by the gospel. So the gospel revealed two things. It revealed the possibility of being partakers in the divine life. He also revealed the possibility of becoming a recipient of immortality. Do you still remember the Garden of Eden? There was something called the tree of life there. If Adam had eaten the tree of life had life and immortality in it all at the same time. Because God said, after man had eaten of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he said, let us go and block the way of the tree of life so that man would not eat and live forever. So immortality was in that tree as well as life. So the gospel revealed those two things. But you see, God in Jesus came to commission life in Jesus' first coming. Are you there? And then God in Jesus will commission immortality in Jesus' second coming. It is that the second coming that will be manifested in the dead rising from the dead, and those of us that remain. That thing you call rapture is actually the release of the gift of immortality. You are no longer subject to death and dying. You have entered into the full economy of the realities of the age to come. All you need to do is that when you are dying, die with your faith in Jesus Christ. And in order to guarantee that, as you are going, be praying. Because if you check the Bible, they taught them how to die. You will notice Stephen, when they stoned him and he was about to die, how did he die? Don't say my belly or my... No. Yeah, look at Caimus Santoria. Oh my God. Revive your neighbor. You revive him. Say there's the Bible gives prescriptions for everything. How many of you still remember Jesus on the cross? He said, into thy hands I commit my spirit. There's a prescription for everything in the Bible. Okay, now, come to me. Let me close. Then they returned unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zealot, and Judas the brother of James. Now, verse 14 is my emphasis. It says, all these continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with the brethren. Why was it that after they came from the Mount of Ascension, they came to a prayer meeting? In fact, that thing you are seeing that they mentioned their name is a roll call. In the morning before they start prayer, they say, is Larry there? Is Doyum there? Is Chief Donatus there? It was a roll call. The question is this. If Pastor Tony should come with a roll call next week, how would they mark your way? Well, let me leave you. So they mentioned their names. And the Bible says that they continued in prayer and supplication with the women. If it were under the old covenant, you will not see with the women there. It will only be men. But an order had changed. Because the first messenger of the gospel that Jesus sent to deliver a message after he rose from the dead happened to be a woman. And I don't have time for that. With the what? What is this? The reason why they preoccupied themselves with prayer was because there was a promise Jesus gave them. Promise of the Spirit. And the only way there will be an outpouring of the Spirit is going to be by the reason of what? Asking. Your life is dry because you are not asking. I have been living in a pool of grace because all I know to do is ask. And people that know what I'm talking about, they live what we call the life of prayer. In consistent communion with God so that measures of the Spirit of God are made available and their life is attributed to the workings of the weight of the glory of God in His Holy Spirit that is made available to them. You want to stop living this ordinary life? Make a deal. If not, you'll be complaining to people and seeking counseling until old age. The quagmire of insufficiency that is rooted in our humanity will make you captive. You always have a counseling need. This is the trouble. I know women here that suffer under the hands of their husband, but they were taught how to ask. It's not that their husbands changed. They grew beyond the level where the nuisance could get to them. You cannot grow every situation the moment you have higher measures of the grace of God that comes through the Holy Ghost. And this all continues. Now the question I want to ask you, is that your life? Is it true that you continued? You that pray for 3 days and after 3 days you say, oh well, God they tell you. Baba, they tell you. They caught an elder in a shrine. Boys went to pray in the bush. And the Holy Ghost encountered them. They prayed till daybreak. Till stark daybreak. And they were navigating from the bush. And there was a nearby shrine there. They saw a man with face cap. When they checked the way the head was, they knew there was only one man that had that dimension of head. It was an elder in church. So they followed him there. Even though he had disguised with face cap, the man has never worn face cap in public. But that day, he wore it before the idol. They trace him there and remove his cap and say, Baba, what are you? Say, see, God did take. Meanwhile, there was no one that preached holiness more than the elder. He was a Puritan. But he consulted, in old age, he consulted with Upoku. May the Lord help us in Jesus' mighty name. All these continue in prayer and in supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brethren. This is the first time in scripture that the Bible mentioned that the other children that Mary gave birth to, that did not believe in Jesus, when they saw him ascend into heaven, they said, the first time that they came for prayer meeting, this is the first time. Their mother dragged them for prayer. And the man taking roll call documented it. Okay, the women were there. Mary was there. But there was something. The reason why Mary was mentioned, because the unbeliever brothers also came. So the roll call master captured it. How did they continue? They continued in prayer and in supplication. And this was in keeping with the teachings of Jesus, because they wanted to bring the Holy Ghost down from heaven. You know what? What God said to me that inspired this sermon is that we are supposed to labor tonight to bring the Holy Ghost down from where? From heaven. If the Holy Spirit is not manifesting around your life, and your life is dry, it is because there's a deficit of your asking. He responds to asking. So we are going to spend some moments and we are going to ask of him. Ask and ye shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you, for everyone that asks receives, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh the door shall be open. I still have four more scriptures which I will not read, but I assume that I've taught you lesson one. Ask. When you really, the real business of asking, real business of asking, is asking for his Spirit. What God made available to swallow up our insufficiency is the Holy Ghost. And you must have seen that in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 26. It says it's the Spirit. Huh? Okay, give me Romans chapter 8 verse 26 as I round up. Quickly. And I'm going to use 30 minutes. The next 30 minutes. Okay, you can raise it. I'm hearing the angels. The angels are singing. They are singing already. He said, likewise, the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us in groanings which cannot be uttered. You are going to be insufficient without the Holy Ghost. You are no match for the devil without the Holy Ghost. And so if God wants to help you, what he does is that he makes available to you measures of his Spirit. The civilizations of God are determined by the measures of his Spirit that we swim in. You must have seen the book of Ezekiel chapter 37 that there are various measures of his Spirit. The realities that characterize your experience is determined by the measure of the Spirit that you swim in. If the measure is higher, then your reality, your experience is so different from someone that has a lower measure. And when you begin to describe your experiences and the way life treats you, the other person will think God is partial. God is not partial, but it's a different civilization in the measures of grace. Oh, how I wish you would be provoked to move from ankle level and go to knee level quickly. To move from knee level and go to waist level quickly. How I wish you'd be provoked. Because this thing I'm talking about is not, if they don't buy this one. This one is available to anyone that is willing to ask. And I see people, they never get tired of counseling. Meanwhile, the pastor you are coming to meet is also surviving by the Holy Ghost. And that Holy Ghost is available to you, but you fail to ask. You refuse to ask. And so you are locked in the shallow waters. When there are depths in God for you to access, I provoke you tonight. Ask, and ye shall receive. Seek, and ye shall find. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. My song every day. Father do me nera. Do me nera. Nera to thee. My song every day. My song every day. Father, draw me nearer. Draw me nearer. Nearer to thee. Somebody sing now. My song every day. My song every day. Father, draw me now. Where have you been? He's been waiting to hear the sound of your voice in his presence. And my song every day. Father, draw me. Father, draw me. Draw me nearer to thee. And my song every day. Sinana mumore. Sinana lalelo berama. My song every day. And my song every day. And my song every day. And my song every day. O se la la na. O se la na more. O mi nera. One more time now. And my song every day. Can you use the moments we have right now to advance your asking? You are standing right before the King. Ask, and he shall receive. Do not waste this moment. Yeah. Ka And my song every day. Hallelujah. 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 And my song every day. Hallelujah. And my song every day. Hallelujah. And my song every day. Call on his name tonight. My song every day. And my song every day. And my song every day. Hallelujah. And my song every day. La 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 So right where you're standing, I'd like you to raise one prayer before we begin the ministration. Can you cry for your family right now? Most of the darkness we contend with have their roots in our families. The warlock, the wizard, trying to marginalize the destinies of men and to prescribe their experiences upon the earth. Today, we break free. We break free from limitations. We break free from obstacles. Raise your voice. He will respond to the prayers of your mouth. That's why we came, that we might raise a prayer unto Him tonight. Yes, Boresco Bolo Korea is the Madatala. Yatabone, Yatasala Babora, Tabelete, is Tama Santalia, Rakabambo. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. If I say in the name of Jesus, you give me a big amen. We'll do that for 7 counts. In the name of Jesus. I am seeing an open grave. There's an open grave here. There is an open grave. There is an open grave. And that one among us that have been sentenced to death, the Lord disallows it. He disallows it. He disallows it. He disallows it. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I'm seeing someone in the congregation that Satan has made 3 attempts to blind one of your eyes. As I speak right now, that eye is beginning to lose sight. One of your eyes. I see a demon has made an attempt 3 times on that eye, so that you will lose your sight. You'll be healed tonight. You'll be healed tonight. In the name of Jesus! I see a woman here with a daughter, 13 years old, that bedwets. You've been complaining. You have a daughter. This daughter is 13 years old that still wears the bed. It is not a weakness. It is a spirit of reproach. that wants to undermine the destiny of that young girl. But the Lord will break that yoke tonight in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Someone did a long fast, and since that time, you have not been the same again. I'm seeing. Yeah, you did a long fast. Who are you? What are you fasting about? Come. Fandadro. Minera. Oh, minera. So Pastor Tony, find out what is she fasting about? And my song every day, Father, minera, so minera, nera to thee. And my song every day, Father, do minera, so minera, nera to thee. Esi la boko. And my song every day. Adado minera, so minera, nera. Yeah, what have you found?
She was fasting for the liberation of her husband's family. She embarked on the fast for 40 days, and after the fast, her body system naturally detoxifies itself when she eats. It's like the food.
There are three padlocks that has locked her. And my song every day, so every day, I yeah, so why is that young boy there?
He didn't quite get the instruction, but he's on a 21 days fast asking God to reveal to him his purpose.
Send him back. This is a serious matter. In the name of Jesus! Hey! Listen to me. I see someone. You're on a path. You're running. Running. Then when you think you have gained mileage, a mighty hand comes and blocks you. That's the vision I saw. So the parable I saw is a situation of a family. Now, I didn't ask anybody to come out. Please. If what you are coming out for is not what I mentioned. This is a parable of a family. And I see a certain member of that family trying to make progress, trying to make a headway, but you collided with a circumstance that has made you naked. You used to send money for upkeep, to make the family advance, you feed people, all of that. Yes, so you were stoned. You were stoned by witchcraft. Arrest that lady. Arrest her. I'm bringing her. Stoned by witchcraft. or today we will cut off that hand. In the name of Jesus! As I began to talk about that lady, then the demons now began to say, if you touch her case, we'll fight you. Ushers, why have you not recovered her? Because I've been looking for Satan's fight for some time, and I've not seen. So this one has promised me a good fight. Jesus, like, In the name of Jesus! Yeah, what have you found? What have you found there?
Act on a long fast, and 1 month after the fast, he was still stooling and purging, and the doctor named it ulcer.
He is not, your case is not spiritual. Go and sit down. I'm sure of this sister's case.
My song every day, but I don't mean that.
Now, what we are going to do is simple. I want to pray. Simple prayer. Then God will begin to handle issues. Now, I wasn't planning for this place to be flooded. Why are you here? Did I ask you to come? Is it that God's hands are shut that they cannot touch your eyes where you are? I didn't ask you to come, so don't come. If you are the one I'm talking about, God will heal you. Do you know what? You, all of you, go and sit down. This is the only woman I'm sure of on this case. Please.
My song every day, Father, draw me nearer.
Now, this is what you will do. I have 25 minutes to do this. If you brought someone that is sick, maybe you have a challenge. Put your hand where the sickness is. The woman I'm seeing with the collar, did she have an accident? Please help me find her. Woman with the collar on your neck, what happened to you? Accident? Okay. So, if you remove the collar, you can't move your neck. Tony, can you give me a feedback there?
They shake.
Your neck, they shake?
Yes, sir.
And never remove them. Wait. When I pray finish, I will tell you when to remove them. Eh?
Okay.
All right. So, just put your... If you brought someone sick, the person is down and all of that, just put your hand. And for the people with... There's the person I spoke about that Satan wanted to make one of your eyes blind and he has attacked it 3 times. The Lord will restore that sight. So all you need to do is to put your hand on the eye. That's all. Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we exalt your name. We thank you because you are all powerful. And tonight you are inviting each and every one of us to come to the prayer floor. That you are willing, you are in good spirits to bring redemption to us. And so I ask that you stretch forth your hand and do damage to sickness, do damage to infirmity, do damage to affliction, do damage to curses, do damage to limitations that are here tonight, in the name of Jesus. I speak to ulcer. Ulcer, I dethrone you in Jesus' name. I speak to asthma. I dethrone you in the name of Jesus. I speak to pain. I dethrone you in the name of Jesus. I speak to deafness. I dethrone you in the name of Jesus. So deafness spirits, be bound. Come out of the ears in the name of Jesus Christ. Blinding spirits, be bound. Come out of the eyes in the name of Jesus. That eye that has suffered 3 attacks from the enemy, that Satan is determined to make blind, I come against you, blinding spirit of darkness, and I demand that you let that eye go. I bring sight to that eye. And I command that eye, see in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm seeing that someone brought a sickly child. I can see it in the spirit. So if you are the one that brought that sickly child, bring that child now. Someone brought a sickly child. I see it in the spirit. If you are the one, bring the child now. So Lord, I ask that your hand might rest on this congregation. Rest on this congregation. Every tree that you have not planted in the lives of your people, I command it to be uprooted in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm seeing 2 coins. The person that came with that sickly child is the last time I raised that case. Come with that child now. I saw it in the spirit, and I know that the child is present. Come with that child now. Come with that child now. I saw it in the spirit. You know, the Holy Ghost does not lie. Listen to me. I'm seeing two coins. Two coins. Someone was sold to Satan. Yes? Find out what is wrong with the child. Meanwhile, in the next 21 seconds, that person in the congregation, that by reason of authority, you were sold by people under whose authority you were. You were sold to Satan. The hand of God comes upon that person. Bring that person here because we need to do just some items of deliverance. Yes. You are going to be bought without money. You were sold for money. You'll be bought without money. You'll be bought tonight, redeemed, restored without price. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen to me. That's not all. There is a woman, you are in the midst of witches. You are fighting alone. That's why it looks like as if your fight is not effective. A woman in the midst of witches. In the next 21 seconds, the Lord will arrest you in the congregation. And when you are arrested in the congregation, you will be given an empowerment and you will be sent back to the community of witches from whence you came, and they will have no power over you. The hand of God is stretched forth. Lord, help me find that woman that is in the community of witches. that is in the center of witchcraft activity, that one that you planted there to be a light, I pray, oh God, that you stretch forth your hand right now and locate that woman. Locate that woman. Locate her. The woman I'm talking about is in this direction. It's in this direction. In this direction. You are in the midst of witches. Don't run away. It's your destiny. It is God that ordained that you will be there. Bring that woman to me. Bring her. My son. Every day. Father. Oh. I see someone that has been poisoned. You were poisoned. You were poisoned. The effect of the poison is beginning to dissipate. God is releasing you from the yoke of the poison. He's releasing you from the yoke of the poison right now. As I speak, the power of that poison is breaking. And then draw me near. Draw me near. So, the healing power of God has started. I've seen two healings already. One is on the back. There's someone that came here with a very terrible pain on the back. I've seen that the Lord has touched that back and he has taken that pain away. Yes, I've seen that. So that's a sign that the healing, oh my God, the healing power of God has begun. Thank you, Jesus. And my soul, every day, Father, draw me near. Draw me near, near to thee. The Lord has touched someone's ear. I can see the ear. An ear condition that the Lord has touched. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Now, those of you in the congregation, please be seated. Be seated for a moment. I give you a few minutes. This few minutes is like 2 minutes because of our time. You need to check. If you notice that there is a change, there is a miracle, the pain has gone, the affliction has gone, you can hear, you can see. What you will do is that you will stand up and then you will come this way. I will take a few testimonies before I do a general prayer. You are in a community of witches. And it is the Lord that sent you there. So don't run away. But right now the Lord wants to empower you to go back to that place and to defeat witches. You will go back and defeat witches. He deliberately sent you there. He wants to change that altar and establish his own altar. The fact that it's difficult doesn't mean it is not the Lord that sent you there. And I can see that one of the children that you have given birth to has the hand of God upon him. Has the hand of God upon him. Most of your attacks is because of that child. Can you stretch forth your hand in this lady's direction and demand that these three padlocks be broken? Demand that it be broken. Demand that it be broken. Demand, demand. Make demand. Make demand. Yes, Sako me Natalie. My soul, every day. Father, draw me near. Draw me near. Never to be. In my soul, every day, Father, dominate, dominate, in the name of Jesus. So there's someone that came here short sight. Check your eyes when you confirm, because God has healed you. If you confirm that, you can come this way. I need to see. We destroy these padlocks that was used to bind your servant because of the fasting. Give her greater strength and capacity in the area of priesthood to survive the weight of her calling in the labors of intercession. In the name of Jesus. Grace be given to you in Jesus' name. Okay, so now, hey, Father, we break the yoke. We break the yoke. We break the yoke. We break the yoke in the name of Jesus. We break the yoke in the name of Jesus. We break the yoke in the name of Jesus. We break the yoke in the name of Jesus. We break the yoke in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, you see, what I'm hearing is scary. But I'm still waiting for the short-sighted person whose eyes have been corrected. I'm waiting for another person that one of your eyes was going blind, but there's a sharp improvement already. I'm waiting for someone that came here with excruciating pain on the back. And as I speak, the pain is no more. The pain is no more. Now listen, I heard a strange thing. Take the children, go. The Lord breaks the yoke on their lives. So the power of the warlock that has been manipulating your family, today we release your destiny from his influence. We release your destiny from his influence. And the demons that have been dispatched to ensure that you are limited, that you are hindered, I command the yoke of those demons. Break from her. Break, 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 break! In the name of Jesus, from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet, I command you, come out. Now listen. Maybe the demon is talking to me. Okay, so, hey, shut up. Can you stretch your hands in her direction? We forbid the wickedness that has been going on in this family.
God has revealed you to her in her dream. God revealed you to her in her dream. She has not been coming here. They say that she saw you in the
So can you help me? Put your hand on her waist. Yes. Put your hand on the waist, yes. And begin to pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Now let me tell you what I'm hearing. Let me tell you what I'm hearing. Someone gave birth to a child. I don't know if it's male or female. I was not shown that. You notice that it's as if the child has hearing problems. Hear me carefully. You notice that it is as if the child has hearing problems. I would like you to run a test on that child now. Someone gave birth to a child, and somehow, even though the child is little, you notice that the child has hearing problems. What I'm asking is, test it now. So you found spirit of darkness, I command you, let her be. Lord, I also ask that the fire of your glory would descend upon this lady. In the name of Jesus. 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 Let the yoke upon her head be lifted in Jesus' name. Okay. Yes, what do you have?
Mama here had a medical procedure on her eyes October last year.
Is it two of the eyes or one?
The both of them.
Okay.
Two of the eyes.
Uh-huh.
Last year.
What did they say was wrong?
They said that it's glaucoma.
Glaucoma. So what happened?
Last week I went to check up.
You went for a checkup?
To Abuja. So when I went there, they said that there is a pressure on my eye.
There's still pressure after the operation?
After the operation. They said there is a pressure. So they said that I should not come out. They dropped a medicine. So they asked me that I should not come out for 5 days. So okay. I stayed there for 5 days. So the day that they asked me to open my eye, so when I opened my eye, I didn't see anything. I just see like something that covered my eye, the two eyes.
Okay, it's like as I see something covered your eyes. Okay.
Since that time, even when I'm coming here, it was the girl that is living with me that he led me to come here.
Oh, it's the girl that is living with you that led you to come here? Guiding you, holding your hand?
Yes.
So what happened today?
Today, when I come here, that you ask us to put a hand.
Put hands on the eye.
On the eye. So okay. When I put, that the time that I came here, even to see the light, I cannot.
You couldn't see the light.
But now that when I remove the grass, I'm seeing it a little bit.
Now, can you celebrate Jesus? Celebrate Jesus. You know, when God is talking, for instance, there was a day, my cousin had a challenge. So he told me about the challenge, and then we came to church. And then God began to talk about that challenge, that is healing that challenge. And I was happy that my cousin would be healed. It was someone else. That is the reason why when I'm ministering, I don't point you except the Lord is pointing. Because the person you might think that God is healing, you'll be disappointed. Now, can you stretch your hand in mommy's direction? Let us ask for perfection. Perfection. In the name of Jesus. Can we celebrate the Lord one more time? Receive your sight in the name of Jesus. Yeah, mommy, you can sit down. Yes? What's going on there?
Says she's been having pressures on her left eye for about 2 months.
Pressure for about 2 months.
And it feels as if there is sand or cobweb inside.
Come. We have not finished. Give me your hand. Can you see me? Okay, you can't see me. Yes, she had.
Yes.
She felt pressure on one of her eyes.
Her left eye. It feels as if there are grains of sand or cobwebs or something on that eye. That from time to time she uses her hand try to pull out.
To pull out something.
But now after the prayers, she's okay.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm looking for someone in the congregation. You were told that one of your organs is failing. You are the one I'm looking for. You were told that one of your organs is failing. Come to me. Now the symptom that you have is traceable to an organ failure. So I'm waiting for you. Anywhere you are, come. And then let's ask Jesus to give you a new organ. Because what we are doing is on the subject of prayer, the ability for God to answer prayers that are brought to Him. Father, perfect this miracle in the name of Jesus.
Yes, you did talk about excruciating waist pain.
Yeah.
As soon as you made prayers, our sister came here with a very serious pain that is about 3 days old. And after the prayers, she felt the pain increase very sharply, and then...
Okay, the pain first increased before it left.
Before it vanished.
Okay.
And she's standing here free. Say she couldn't turn so, before, but now she's able to do all of that.
Can you attempt to do what you could not do before? Okay. So please. So I'm still waiting for the person that was told there was a challenge with one of the organs. And I don't know which organ, whether it's your heart or your kidney, your liver. There's a challenge. You went for a checkup because of a certain pain that you were having, and the interpretation of your situation medically was that there's a situation with an organ. What we are trying to do here is to test the power of prayer. Because all I'm going to do to you is just to pray, and then maybe you go for the test again, and then you bring us the feedback. Okay? So, please, come this way. Let us verify this. Then we'll just pray a simple prayer. There's an organ failure. Yeah? Join them. As serious as these cases are, they allowed me to say it the second time before they responded. So if you are going into ministry, you need to be sure of your hearing. Don't say what you like. Say what God has told you. It will never fail. Is this a confidential matter?
Our brother here says he's had diagnosed of heart failure in 2021.
He was diagnosed of heart failure in 2021? Okay.
Our sister, they spoke about kidney failure. And
kidney failure?
They told her of liver.
They told her of liver something?
Yeah,
okay.
Recently.
Yeah?
Liver issue.
You can even see the way the stomach is. Now, so what we are going to do, we'll just pray, simple prayer. 5 minutes. Can we do that? Then we'll give you 21 days. Then go back and run the check. Okay? We're verifying the power of prayer because it's God. We were sitting on our own. Jesus came and said, ask. And ye shall receive. So can we ask on their behalf right now? And say, Lord, give them new organs. Give him a new liver. Give her a new kidney. Give him a new heart. Right now. Pray with faith in your heart. Isamoria. Antobokonde seleke de braski. Romenastiko kendori samalandeli. Obrema manasuka tande sumina itoria. Miro sekela. Aikomena silobonda. Yabraske dile heso somine. Igobeso soria branta baboria. Maya sontele kaya. Father, give him a new kidney, a new liver, a new kidney, a new liver, a new heart, a new heart, in the name of Jesus. So go back 21 days, go and run a test and bring it to me. Yeah, you can continue. You can continue. So now I'm seeing someone that cannot sleep. This person cannot sleep. The situation has grown worse over 4 years. It's a situation of sleeplessness. Where are you? A situation of sleeplessness that have grown worse over 4 years. I await you. Sleeplessness that has grown worse over 4 years. Come. Yes, what's your story?
I know they feel sleep in the night.
You know they feel sleep?
Yes.
What did happen?
I don't know. The you sleep, know they come.
Okay, how it start? How did it start?
It starts for many years now.
Many years?
Yes.
When night come, you know you sleep.
I know they even still sleep. Sometimes if I happen to sleep, it's just 5 minutes.
5 minutes, you don't wake up.
The whole night I will not sleep.
Okay. Meanwhile, please ask him. Let's verify. You know me before?
No. But I used to come to church.
You used to come, but
yes,
but you don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
You know why they ask you?
No.
Because people still say you be my guy, so we don't.
No.
Me and you don't discuss. Say, man, you go come, say you don't sleep. In a big crusade that was held, the convener of the crusade had already gone home, giving thanks to God that they had a great meeting. And he wanted to pass through the hotel of the man of God to just greet him. Then he saw one of the people that testified about a miracle, talking about the fact that the money they agreed was not paid. The money no reach. He had to come to the crusade ground the next day to apologize to the people that came for the crusade. You know, if he had not done that, there would be no way. Yeah, everything you saw yesterday was fake. Have mercy on me. This man I brought is not from God. He came from somewhere else. That's why we do this. God wants to heal you. I know you don't believe, but Pastor Tony, you will take his number because his own, by tomorrow, you will confirm that demon has left. Now, see, there is a demon. This is a demonic case. Eh? And I don't want to tell you the details so that you will not go and fight somebody. It's a demonic case. We are going to arrest the spirit right now. Stretch your hand as a congregation. Let us arrest this spirit. This man must sleep tonight. The man must sleep tonight. The man must sleep tonight. The man must sleep tonight. Pray. Isamaya kore masantoria. Ikopron de maskido balasantere. In the name of Jesus. You twisting and turning demon, I arrest you. And I command you, let this man go. I restore sleep to you from this night henceforth. Sleep out all the sleep that you've not been able to sleep all this while. In Jesus' name. So, you in 24 hours, by tomorrow you should give us an update on that situation. So, Tony, you give me one more testimony and then I do two things before I leave the platform. Yes, I'm looking for someone among these people. Looking for someone. If you are in this congregation right now and you have not given your life to Christ, you've been attending church services, sampling churches, but you don't belong to Jesus. Right where you are sitting, I want to invite you to stand up. You are tired of the rat race and you want to really become committed to God from this night. Right on your seat, I invite you to take a stand. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me in this broken world, I will be ashamed of you in the kingdom of my Father. So right where you are, you can take a stand. You can stand on your feet so that the preacher can see you. You've not given your life to Christ. Right where you are. I will not say this many times. But remember, I gave you the opportunity to say yes to Jesus. One more time, if you are not born again and you are sitting on the seats, I invite you to take a stand and rise up on your feet. Thank you, my sister. Rise up on your feet. She has taken the bold step to even come to the altar. So let's change the... Rise up on your feet and join us in the front. Rise up on your feet and join us in the front. If you have not turned your heart to Jesus Christ, you have 2 more minutes to make a decision. Rise up on your feet. Jesus will never force any man. But it takes into account the fact that you were given an opportunity to respond to him and you rejected him because you were ashamed of him. There is a day that is coming when men will be ashamed. Because in the heavenlies, Jesus will need to confess you to his Father and say, I know this one. In that day, that's the day that men will really be ashamed. If you are ashamed in this broken world, you are ashamed for vanity. You are ashamed of Jesus because of vanity. But when it matters most, I pray you will not be ashamed that day. So, sister, bow your head and repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I cannot help myself. Have mercy on me. Wash me with your blood. Write my name in the book of life. Give me the power to live for you all the days of my life. Every covenant I entered into, knowingly or unknowingly, let his power over my soul be broken this moment. I am free in Jesus' mighty name. I ask, O God, look kindly upon this one. Accept her in your kingdom. And let the yoke of darkness over her life be taken away in Jesus' name. Yes, we have a counselor there. Please follow that counselor. Just for a moment, you can untie yourself. Just for a moment and you join us again. Yes, Tony, finally, before I run away.
Our brother here had a terrible waist pain from last night. And that the pain has been displaced after the prayers this evening.
Hallelujah. I want to pray for this congregation. So in a moment of time, I want to request that you stand on your feet as we pray together. Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. We magnify your name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, there is someone that God is anointing. This is the third time I'm feeling the wave of that anointing. You've been praying and fasting for a while and asking for God's intervention, for God to increase your measure. And God has answered your prayer, and the proof of this answer is going to manifest in an anointing that is going to place on your life. As I speak, even now, the angels of the Lord are moving in the congregation, and the hand of the Lord will rest upon you in a few seconds. Father, that one that you brought here tonight to anoint, I ask in the name of Jesus, let the oil come on that individual. Let the oil rest on that individual. So he commissions you, puts his grace upon you, so that you can do his will. I pray, Lord, for every family that is represented here, and for those that are listening to me online in different nations, I release the grace of God over your life, over your family, in the name of Jesus. And I ask that God's mighty power be released over you in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Yeah, you may be seated again. So we still have miracles coming in from the online participants. We have a Lydia in the United Kingdom. She said she was healed from a very painful toothache. It was really painful. Now the pain is gone. Do we have any other testimony there? Rosaline, I've been healed of sharp pain in my back. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we have another one there? Okay. Thank you, Jesus.